Thank you, Mr. Rands. Good afternoon to everyone. I'm beginning to think summer may have actually arrived here for a change. At least it's somewhat above 40 degrees, which is rather nice. Tomorrow, we will be celebrating the third holy day of the year. It's the third milestone in God's awesome plan. God uses numbers to relate directly to Him and to His work. In his book, Number in Scripture, E.W. Bullinger says about the number three that it represents God's fullness. On page 110 and 111, Mr. Bullinger comments that the number three, it signifies and represents the Holy Spirit as taking the things of Christ and making them real and solid in our existence. Usually during Pentecost, we look at Pentecost in two different ways. We look back when God gathered Israel to Mount Sinai and He revealed His law, His Ten Commandments to them and also to the world. We also look back into the New Testament time in 32 AD when the Holy Spirit was given to the apostles openly and to the church to build the basis upon which the church, even to this day, is founded upon, given to those who repent, who are baptized, and who have hands laid on them. Yet, we are in a different era. Our vision, the vision we proclaim, which is what the church has been proclaiming, the kingdom of God, the very vision that Christ proclaimed, did not look backward and does not look backward. It looks forward, forward into the future. On the earlier Pentecosts, God gave two of the vital ingredients that will make a dramatic effect in making and building the world tomorrow as a solid and a sure reality. The two Pentecosts don't make a whole. There is one other vital step, one other element that is missing. Without God's holy law and Spirit working in mankind, we end up with a lot of results and a lot of fruits that create pain and suffering. In the world, there are 21 main religions. Not one God, not one religion, 21 main religions, including all of their idols, all of their objects of worship. In the middle of this year, there will be about 6,600,000,000 people on the face of this earth. How many of them defile God's name? How many of them, which is the majority, defile God's Sabbath? Wouldn't it be nice to get up on the Sabbath someday and find yourself in a traffic jam for people rushing to church? Wouldn't that be nice? Without God's love or God's law being applied, without the Spirit working within man, there are over 180,000 murders per year, not including wars, rebellions, or other fights like that. In the U.S., marriage, this institution that we hold up as sacred, in the U.S., our divorce rate is 61%. And cohabitation is growing not only in those divorced and the younger set, but it's also growing among us seniors, those of us that have gray hair. A lot of it is because of tax laws and so forth. And regardless of the term that we use, and man, of course, comes up with many terms. You can look at the law, man's law, and see that. Whether it's burglary, whether it's robbery, whether it's theft, or whether it's larceny, God calls it all stealing. In today's world, in the United States, there's over 10 million victims just of this one broken commandment. And finally, there are three other tripwires that we find that bring sin, that people trip over and bring sin upon themselves. Let's turn over to 1 John, 1 John chapter 2. 1 John chapter 2. Let's look at these tripwires. John writes in 1 John 2, verse 16, "For all that is in the world, the lust of the flesh, the lust of the eyes, and the pride of life, is not of the Father, but is of the world. And the world is passing away, and the lust of it. But he who does the will of God abides forever." Three tripwires: the lust of the eyes, the lust of the flesh, and the pride of life. 94,000, 95,000 rapes per year in the United States because of this, running out of control. Yet God has given his law. God has opened up his spirit to be given to man from Pentecost on. Let's turn over to Ezekiel and see what God has to say. Ezekiel chapter 11. Ezekiel chapter 11, and this is also repeated in chapter 36, verse 26. But Ezekiel 11, verses 19 through 20 says, "Then will I give them one heart, and I will put a new spirit within them, and take the stony heart out of their flesh, and give them a heart of flesh, so that they may walk in my statutes, and keep my judgments, and do them. And they shall be my people, and I will be their God." Speaking of Israel, of course, as God's model nation. In this passage is the third element of Pentecost. In this passage, look again in verse 20. It says, "And do them," and do them, about his law. The two parts of Pentecost that we normally look at, the giving of the law and the giving of the Spirit, have this one additional part to make it complete, to make it mature, to bring it to full fruition, and do them. It is illustrated both by Christ and by Paul. Let's turn over to Romans 13 and see what Paul has to say about this. Romans 13. In verse 10, Paul writes, "Love does no harm to a neighbor. Therefore, love is the fulfillment of the law." This is the active, the third, the missing part of Pentecost, if you will. Because Pentecost, with the law and with the Spirit, demands a third part, which is applying it, putting it into action. Peter says, to sum up, 2 Peter 3, 2 Peter 3, verse 9, 2 Peter 3, verse 9. Peter says, "The Lord is not slack concerning his promise, as some count slackness, but is long-suffering toward us, not willing that any should perish, but that all should come to repentance." That includes this all that Peter speaks of, includes the idolaters, the rebellious, the murderers, the violent, the thieves that we spoke of, the licentious and the adulterers, the covetous, that they should all come to repentance. That's what tomorrow is all about. Were that to happen, which we pray for, billions of people will go from darkness and ignorance to light and knowledge. Billions of people will go from fear and hate to faith and love. Application of the law, application of the Holy Spirit is that third missing element and the active element of Pentecost.